Everybody in this room this morning has at least one thing in common, at least one. You came through a door to get into this room. Might have come through that door or that door or that elevator or this door or that door, but you came through a door to get in to this room. And I want to take up the subject of some important doors in the Bible this morning. And before I do that, before we get into the scriptures themselves, let me suggest that a door does at least three things, probably more. A door allows you to come in or out. We call that admittance. You can go in and you can come out. A door allows you to do that. Also, a door can protect you. If the bully is chasing you home from school and you're running as fast as you can, you run up to your house and you open the door and you close the door and the bully can't get in. That's protection. It's all through the scriptures as well. The other thing is a door can exclude people. Sometimes there was a little Sunday school song, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? And referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, himself. So we want to think about doors. You got your Bible? Let's first go to Genesis chapter 7, please. Book of Genesis, first book in the Bible. And we're going to be reading some verses from chapter 7. Now, while you're turning there, let me remind you that when you read chapter 6 of Genesis, it's a sad commentary on the situation of the world. God said nothing good, like nothing. Now, the world's pretty bad today. I mean, really, it's kind of awful if you think about it, in many ways, but not completely bad. The scriptures indicate to us that there wasn't anything good. It was just all wrong. Every imagination, every thought, every act, every word, every deed, like bad. And God says, it is time for judgment. And so out of all of the people on the earth, there was one fellow by the name of Noah. You might remember him. In chapter 6, Noah found grace, verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was picked to do a job that nobody would really like to do. He was picked to build an ark, that is a huge boat, a ship. It was a little bit difficult for Noah to get his mind around that because he was 200 miles from any body of water. What do I need a ship for? It had never rained on earth at that point. Why do I need something that floats? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God gave Noah the instructions. He gave the blueprint, and he said, I want you to build this ark because I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. And so Noah did that. You can read more about that in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, where you read about Noah. But in chapter 7, let me read the last verse, actually, of chapter 6, verse 22. Watch your Bible. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, and so he did. So he built the ark. There it is. Now, we know by counting the records that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. 120 years. It's amazing what you can do in 120 years. Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So in my mind, I see it. There's a platform over here. Maybe for the first 20 years, all they're doing is cutting down trees. I have no idea how they did this. But then they had to prepare that lumber, and however they did that, I don't know. And then they took the blueprint that God gave, and they started building this thing. There came a time when Noah looked back, and he goes, there it is. 120 years later, there it is. That's what God told me to build. And Noah did according to all that command that the Lord commanded him to do. So he built the ark. While he's building that ark for 120 years, Peter says he's a preacher of righteousness. So he was doing more than hammering nails. There might have been a ring of hammers beating something in the background, but Noah is preaching a judgment to come and flee the wrath to come, and you better get ready to get in this ark because it's the only place of safety on earth. So 120 years, Noah is preaching. Finally, the ark is ready. And in chapter 7, verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah, come in to the ark, you and all your household. I don't know how many people are on earth at this time. There's a really wide number of guesses as to how many people. I don't know how many. Could be millions by then. But I know one thing. I know who went into the ark. We don't have to guess about how many went in. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wife. If you count that, that'd be eight. Eight people, 120 years. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Prepare. Come on, get ready. We got to get in the ark. It's the only place of safety. God is going to judge the earth with a flood. Yeah, I don't believe that. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so here we have an invitation. This first door is really has an invitation with it. You'll notice that the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. If I said to you, go into the living room, where am I? Oh, I'm not in the living room, but I want you to go into the living room. If I said to you, come into the living room, where am I? Well, I'm in the living room, and I want you to come in with me. Isn't it interesting? God didn't say to Noah, okay, go into the ark, Noah. You know what he said? Come into the ark. Where's God? He's in the ark. That ark is the only safe place on earth, and God says, Noah, you better come in with me. Now, go to verse 16. Verse 16, same chapter. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord, are you with me? Close the door. You see that? So Noah had a big job because God says, oh, we're going to take two of every kind of the animals. We're going to take seven of the animals we're going to use for a sacrifice. We're going to get them all in the ark. And God brought the animals to Noah. He didn't have to go out and lasso an elephant or a giraffe and drag them in there. God brought them. But my point here this morning about a door is this. The first door that I'm mentioning here this morning is a door that was closed by God. God knows how to close doors. 120 years preaching, you better get in the ark, you better flee the wrath, you better take sides with God. Nobody listened. You know, somebody said to me one time, Noah wasn't much of a preacher. He preached for 120 years and only his family went in with him. I said, some people don't even get their family to go in with them. At least he got his family. And if you're in a family and you know the Lord, that's your responsibility. You get your family in. You convince your family. You pray for your family. You show your family that Jesus makes the difference. Get your family in. Noah did. Got his family in. But my point here is that there came a time when the Lord closed the door. Do you know what happened after God closes the door? You couldn't get in the ark. It didn't matter how much you tried or cried or beat or hoped or yelled. It didn't make any difference. Why? God had closed the door. Now, hold your hand here and go in the New Testament to the book of Luke, chapter 13. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 13, and verse 23. Luke 13 and 23. Then one said to Jesus, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say, will seek to enter in and will not be able. Watch your Bible, 25. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer you and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and taught and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Get this picture in your mind. Way back in Noah's day, God had proclaimed that he is going to destroy the earth with a flood. 120 years passes. What's keeping the flood from coming? The mercy and the grace and the long suffering of God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should get in the ark. That's what he wanted. And he waited and he waited and he waited. But then one day the dam of mercy broke. And the flood waters of God came from above and from beneath and destroyed everything that breathed air except those who were in the ark. Okay, we're not in Noah's day. Here we are, 2024, Vancouver, here we are. What's going on? There is a message today that the wrath and judgment of God are coming. It's coming. What's holding it back? Why doesn't God judge? Why doesn't God condemn right now? The long suffering of God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What's holding the judgment of God back? The dam of his grace and his mercy and his long suffering are holding back the wrath of God. But one day, just like it was in Noah's day, that dam's going to break. the day of grace is going to be over. There will be no mercy, no forgiveness, no love, no salvation offered in that day, and the master of the house is going to close the door. Go. What did Jesus say? You stand outside knocking, it won't matter. I don't know you. I gave you a chance. My son died for you. He rose again for you. I offered you for years and years and years salvation and forgiveness and love and mercy, and you would not. I don't know you. You rejected me. Now I reject you. That's what we just read. By the grace of God, guess what's open today? Door of grace is open today. Door of salvation is open today. If you know you're a sinner and you need a Savior, you need to trust Christ today. You see, there came a time in Noah's day when God closed the door. There's going to come a time in our day, listen, God is going to close the door. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Trust Christ today. Exodus now, back in the Old Testament, please. Book of Exodus, chapter 12. First door, a door that was closed by God. Exodus chapter 12. Second door, this is a door that was covered with blood. A door covered with blood. Background. Nation of Israel have been 400 years in Egypt. They went there under good favor with the Pharaoh. Things have changed in 400 years. They became the mud turtles of Egypt. They're the slaves now. And they have no way to help themselves. And they cry to the Lord. And the Lord heard their cry. And 4 centuries passed. And God sent a deliverer. His name was Moses. Perhaps you've heard the story of Moses before. And Moses comes under the power and inspiration of God. And God sends him back to rescue God's people, the nation of Israel, out of Egypt. Problem is, Pharaoh didn't want to let him go. And so God says, I know how to get Pharaoh's attention. And so plague after plague after plague, and judgment after judgment was pronounced on the Egyptians to let God's people go, rescue them. He wouldn't do it. Finally, there was one last plague. And the plague was something like this. At a certain time, on a certain day, at a certain time, at midnight, there was a visitor from heaven coming. The angel of death was going to visit Egypt. And the angel of death was going to come into that nation, into that country, and he was going to visit every home. Didn't matter who you were. You could be an Egyptian. You could be a slave. You could be an Israelite. You could be anybody. Didn't matter. And he's going to visit every home. And the angel of death was going to kill the firstborn in every house. Now think about that. Let's suppose you're the firstborn in the house. Okay? And let's suppose your wife is the firstborn in that house. And let's suppose you have children, and now you have a son, and the son is the firstborn in that house. When that angel of death visited that house, all three were killed because they were all firstborn. And it didn't matter who you were. But God said to Moses, Moses, tell my people that I have a plan where their firstborn will not be killed this night. I want you to take a lamb. I want you to take it on the 10th day of the month. I want you to inspect that lamb. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be without blemish. I want you to wash it. And then on the 14th day, I want you to slay that lamb. I want you to catch the blood in a bowl. I want you to take some vine called hyssop. And I want you to go to the door. And I want you to take the blood of that lamb. And I want you to paint it on the side post and across the top, the lintel of that door. Okay, let's see. Let's read in verse 12 of chapter 12 of Exodus chapter 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And then you'll notice in verse 21, Moses called all the elders, pick and take the lamb for yourselves according to your family, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike it in the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. That's not hard. That's really simple. This is God's way. You see, the first door, I said, was closed by God. This next door is covered with blood. This is not hard. The destroyer comes. The death angel comes. He's going through the village. He's going through the outskirts. He's everywhere he sees a house, a dwelling, he goes to that dwelling. And if he sees the blood, guess what he does? Passes over, goes to the next house. What is the significance of the blood? See, the lamb represents the innocent party. The Israelites had been raised up. They know what sacrifice is. They know what animals are for. God tells them what kind of animals, how they are to do it. And they have a sacrificial system. And it's basically very simple. If you sin as an Israelite and you needed to get forgiveness of your sin, an animal took the judgment. The wages of sin is death, and the animal is killed, and the blood is shed. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and they give their life, and they give the blood that is shed. So when the angel, the death angel, sees the blood on the door, he goes, okay, the sacrifice is accepted. They have done what God has asked, and he goes over. It's called Passover. Not hard. The New Testament comes along, and the Lord Jesus Christ is standing with his disciples in a little upper room. And it's thousands of years later. And guess what they are celebrating? Passover. God says, I want you to do this forever. It is to be a memorial. And so here they are, thousands of years later, and they're celebrating Passover, and they're eating the Passover lamb. And the Lord Jesus stands up among his disciples, and he says, I am the Passover lamb. They didn't get it. They didn't understand that. We do. We got the book. We understand the whole story. The Lord Jesus Christ, the first time he is recognized publicly by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, John the Baptist says, there he is. And then he said, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. And the only way you can get away from the angel of death that can destroy you, not for time, but for eternity, listen to me, is that you've got to take the blood of the lamb and apply it to the doorpost of your heart. And when God sees the death of his son, the blood of his son, listen to the scriptures, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's son, cleanses us from all sin. We just sang it. This is what the message is about. And you need to do that by faith. You need to say like Moses said, you put the, or Moses said, you put the blood on the doorpost by faith. Like Noah said, you need to get in this ark with me by faith. So God closes the door. One door is covered with blood. Let's quickly go to John chapter 10, New Testament, third door. John chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 10. This third door I have entitled a door, not that God closed, which God did close the door, a door that not was covered with blood, but God did, that was a door that was covered with blood, but this, a door that is, are you listening? A door that is a man is a door. Now, notice this in chapter 10 and verse number 9, 10 and verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You see, in this door, the door that is a man, we have a door. Remember, a door allows you to go in or out. A door allows protection. A door allows exclusion. Jesus is the door. You say, well, how can Jesus be a door? Listen, don't make it hard. Listen, Jesus said, are you listening? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Don't make that hard. Jesus is the door. If you're going to ever get to God, you're going to ever have your sins forgiven, going to ever be loved and have an eternal, you got to go through the door. What door? Jesus. Jesus is the door. Everything points to Christ. The ark was a picture of Christ, the only safe place on earth. Jesus is the only safe place in eternity. The door that was covered with blood. Jesus shed his blood for us. The Bible is very clear. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the light. I am the door. There's one more, and I hurried to it. Revelation, last book in your Bible, chapter 3. So the last book of your Bible, chapter 3. So we got a door that was closed by God, Noah's day. We got a door that was covered with blood, Moses' day. We got a door that's a man. His name is Jesus Christ. Only way, no other way to God. And now I want to read for you about a door that needs to be opened. Verse 20, chapter 3, Jesus speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. That's not hard. Since I've been here and I've really enjoyed my time since I've been here from Ontario in your good city of Vancouver, and we're staying in the missionary home, and missionary home has a door. Actually, it has two doors, one through the kitchen, one through the living room. Every once in a while, we'll hear ding dong, or you know what I know when that happened? Somebody is out there and they want to come in. I got a visitor. There's somebody knocking on my door. Now, don't make the scriptures hard. The Lord Jesus says it like this. Watch it. First he says, I stand at the door. Well, what door is that? A dear friend, don't make this hard. This is the door into your heart. This is the door into your life. This is the real you who lives in a shell called a fleshly physical body. But the real you lives on the inside. And the Lord Jesus wants to come in and get to know you, and you get to know him. But there's something unique that you've got to do in order for that to happen. Let's suppose Harold comes to my door and he knocks on the door, okay? And I go out there and I say, who is it? And he says, it's Harold. And I say, go away. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? You see, when a person knocks on your door, they like to come in. They'd like to come in and enjoy some friendship or fellowship or visiting or something, a meal together, something, okay? It would be very rude or very crude if you said, I don't want you to come in. But the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, is standing and knocking at the door of your heart, your heart, your heart. You hear? You hear? I find it interesting to use the words, I stand, not I stood yesterday and I'm never coming back. He didn't say that. Now, he didn't say 2 weeks from now I'm going to show up and I'll, no, he didn't. He said, I'm standing. I'm standing. Present tense. Let me tell you something. Ever since you've been old enough to have a conscience, he's been knocking at the door of your life. He knocks through the circumstances of life, your childhood, your siblings, your parents, illnesses, accidents, sunsets, questions about what's it. That's him. He's knocking. He's knocking through the circumstances of life. But not only is he standing, he's been standing there all of your life, and not only is he knocking, look at the Bible says, if anyone hears my voice. Oh, you know what that is? That's what's happening this morning. Jesus is speaking to you. He said, I love you. I died for you. I rose again for you. I want to come into your life. I want to get to know you. I want you to be saved. I want you to be part of my family. I want to take you to heaven when you die. He's speaking to you. Can you hear him? He's standing. He's knocking. He's speaking. What's he saying? If any man hears my voice and opens the door, you know what he's saying? Please let me in. Please let me in. I loved you. I died for you. I gave my life for you. Please let me in. Can you imagine your friend coming, anybody coming, your family, and they're standing and you go, no, 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 please, please let me in. Please, please. And you keep saying, no, no, no. You know what's going to happen? Unless you open that door and let him into your life, you know what's going to happen? One day, he's going to walk away. He won't knock forever. You see, we read about it. One day, the master is going to close the door and lock it. It's too late then. It's too late. Please don't wait. Why wouldn't you want to let the most beautiful person in the universe into your life, into your heart? Someone who loved you and died for you. Why would you resist that? It's because you will not believe that you need him. That's why. Soon as you understand that you have sinned against God and this is the only way I can get forgiveness, you will open that door by grace because you'll see your need. But until then, he pleads, he knocks, he speaks, and he wants to come in. A door that was closed by God, a door that was covered with blood, a door that is a man, his name is Jesus, and a door that needs to be opened by you. I close with a painting that I saw about this verse. Jesus is standing at a door, and he's knocking. If you look close at the painting, you'll notice something. There's no door handle on the outside of that door. Only on the inside where you are. You have to open it. You say, how do I open that? You open that by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm the sinner and you're the Savior and I want you to be my Savior. I want to accept you as my sacrifice. I want to accept that your blood paid for my sin. I want to accept that you're the only safe place in eternity. And I want to come in to you and I want you to come in to me. That's how you open that door. But you got to mean it. These are not magic words. This is the attitude of your heart. Please open that door today. Let's pray. Father, it's the work of God. I wish we could save somebody, but I know we cannot. But we can certainly point them to a man who's a door, the only way to God. And we're praying today, Father, your Spirit might just convince someone today to open the door. And the Lord Jesus said, I will come in. Oh, Father, we pray that might happen this very hour for someone, for Christ's sake. Amen. If you have any questions, if you'd like to talk about that, I'll be right down here.